Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And welcome to this, our service for the 28th of February, which is the, I'm sure as you all know, is the second Sunday in Lent. Elspeth is on holiday this week, so the service has been taken by the worship group, and we'll be continuing our journey through Mark's Gospel. We'll be looking at the first few verses of chapter 6, where Jesus talks about a prophet being without honour among his own people, or as we would say in Scotland, a Kent his favour. I'm sure the intimations will go up on the screen, and we'll begin the service with the responsive psalm, and Mandy will be reading the alternative verses on behalf of the congregation. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me.
Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel.
For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth.
From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you.
Amen. Our first item of praise this morning is 112, God Whose Almighty Word. And it's a recording from the Scottish Festival Singers. So hymn 112, God Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
And I now ask Jim Sinclair to deliver the All Age talk.
Last week we read in Mark 5 about Jairus and the woman who was ill for many years. They had the faith to believe that Jesus could heal Jairus' daughter and the woman herself. Now we find Jesus returning to his hometown in Nazareth in this week's reading in Mark 6. On the Sunday, he starts to preach in the temple, and the people are amazed at what they're hearing. Here's this boy who grew up amongst them, full of all this wisdom. But rather than ask Jesus, they start to mutter amongst themselves, perhaps it's because they were so familiar with him, the fact that he'd grown up amongst them. And sometimes I think we as a church tend to forget the youngsters that grow up amongst us, and we just keep pushing them to the side. Perhaps we should listen to what they have to say at times. So the people at Nazareth were questioning Jesus' radical ideas. He was telling them who he was, but they couldn't believe because they were so familiar with him. And perhaps we are familiar with the stories of Jesus from the days in Sunday school to now, that we don't accept an awful lot of what Jesus has to say to us. And we should go back and read the stories again with an open mind and just accept them more and listen. When I was talking to Heather when I was preparing this, she was saying about how she feels at times within the church that just pushed to the side, nobody wants to listen. And even, she was saying, even through her SU experiences, as she was progressing from just being an ordinary camper to a helper, even then the leaders just didn't want to listen to the younger people. Perhaps we should learn to listen and accept the young ones have the ideas that we don't really think they should have. Perhaps we should learn to listen to the radical ideas of some of the younger ones in the church. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jim. And Ian Conn will now lead us in the prayer of approach and confession.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you made all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, show forth your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you are the Lord of the universe and the King of creation. We bow low in your presence as we worship and praise your holy name. All honour on earth and in heaven belongs to you for sending us your only Son to die in our place on the cross, granting us an inheritance we neither work for nor deserve. We know that when we look into our own hearts, we see all the impurities and imperfections of fallen humanity. We see pride and lust, jealousy and anger. We do not love our fellow human beings with your perfect love. Instead, we follow the desires of our own heart and discover an emptiness inside. Gracious God, we pray that you will fill that emptiness and help us to fulfill our longing to be numbered among the children of God. Show us the error of our ways, but also the blessing to be found in serving our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Father God, we recognise that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Without you, our good intentions come to nothing. Our noblest thought is in vain. So we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to encourage us in our faith and to renew us in hope as we take up the challenge to carry our cross for the sake of your world. Hear this, our prayer, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray using these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Our next worship song is I Stand Amazed by the Norton Hall Band, which is from the Southern Baptist Seminary in America, and it expresses the wonder we feel when we discover the love of God in Christ. So, I Stand Amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. How wonderful is my Savior.
Now invite Mandy to read her passage from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6.
A prophet without honour. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's the wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Amen.
Thanks very much, Mandy. And a reflection this morning will be delivered by Stephen Hunter. So, Stephen.
Okay, thanks. This passage that we've read this morning is also found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 to 58. And a lot of it is word for word. So two of the gospel writers related the same story. And here, Jesus, the main point I think he's making here, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country. But Jesus was on his way in his ministry heading towards Jerusalem. And we are looking towards that in some extent in the period of Lent. But at this point here, he comes to Nazareth on his journey. And no doubt, as he came to Nazareth, Jesus would have had mixed feelings, positive things that he remembered, and probably some negative things he remembered also. About being back where he grew up, and most of us would be exactly the same. There are many people who stay in their home village, but there's many people who leave. And coming back is quite an experience for them. For some, it's a real joy, and for others, it brings back painful memories. If Jesus' memories would have been quite happy, but some were perhaps not so happy. He lived there as a carpenter for quite a lot of his adult life. He was also known to most people, not just as the carpenter, but he probably would have gone to school with them if he had such a thing. Oh, I'll need to come and do the worst, yeah.
Sorry, just lost me there. The computer was on, switched off. Can you hear me at the moment?
There you go.
No, that's the one coming in. You can hear me all right. Okay. Right. I don't know if you can see me because I don't know what my picture is here. Oh, I think James got it turned around the other way, actually. Right, there we go. I was looking at the cover there. So in his 30 years that Jesus worked in the community in Nazareth, he was the carpenter after his father had died. And obviously, we've read there how he had four brothers and at least two sisters. So Jesus had lived in a household of at least nine people at some point. And like any other human, he would have had all the experiences that there was in that home, and friends and neighbours round about, the different experiences that you would get from them. They would affect his life and his experiences. But the people round about would have formed their own impression of Jesus. And the impression that they got probably stuck with them. I remember times in my hometown when people came back, what you remember was not what they were now, but what they were then, when you first knew them. And the reputation that they had then, it kind of stuck with you. And a lot of the people would have looked on Jesus in that way. In some ways, they would be saying, well, he's only the carpenter. He's only the son of Mary. Why should we be listening to him? And some of the questions that they came up with as he stood up to teach in the synagogue, although they were amazed at his teaching, the questions were asking, how did he get these things? What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these miracles he is performing? And their question isn't this, the carpenter. What their meaning is, this is the carpenter. That's how we remember him. This is just Mary's son. This is just the brother of these other brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. We don't get the names of the sisters, but it says there was at least two. And the statement it says there is that they took offence at him. Now, as Jim's already mentioned, for a lot of them, it possibly was the familiarity that was the stumbling block. Some of them perhaps were jealous. They'd heard about his fame. He's left this little town and he's become famous. And for others, the Bible says, for most of them, it says it was unbelief. Whatever he did, whatever he said, they were unlikely to change their opinion of him. He could only do a few miracles there because of their unbelief. There would have been some who did believe and some who saw him as the Son of God. And we remember that even his own brother, James, he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And I'm sure many other believers, people became believers from that village. But for the most part, it was said that they had unbelief. And James was not only the leader of the church, but many believe he wrote the practical epistle of James in the Bible. So there was a great effect that he had on the people in the village and on his own family. But here he still says, he makes this statement, for the most part, they did not believe. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honour, except in his own country. You can be well known all over the world, but the people round about will still see you in the same way very often. And I remember in the church I was in when I was young, there was a man there who used to tell us about all the things God did with him when he was in other places. And the comment from a lot of the people in the church was, well, why does it not happen here? That is just true to human nature, I think. That's how we react, first of all. It's very difficult to change and to look past what our opinions are. What do we think of others around us in the village or in our acquaintance or just people we know? What do others think about us? Quite often, we don't know that. Rabbi Burns got a grip of that one. We need to be very wary of having preconceived ideas where God is concerned. We could lose out on so much in our lives. We need to be open to the possibilities of change and the miracles that God can perform, or we will be spiritually and practically worse off for it, as the people in Nazareth were. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus promised us, Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. May God help us to be open to the possibilities that just a little faith can bring. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Our next praise is In Christ Alone, which is a recording by Steph McLeod, who's a Scottish singer whose life had reached rock bottom when he discovered Jesus and was able to begin his recovery. So, In Christ Alone by Steph McLeod.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, blood of Christ.
beautiful song. Let's again come before the Lord in prayer as we offer up our prayers for the world and for others. Dear Lord, our God, you're the light that shines in the darkness. You're the God of hope in the midst of despair, extended in time and space, past, present, and future all belong to you. So we are never alone. Your unseen presence is always with us. You are our God, our Father. We thank you that through Christ, your Son, we have been adopted into your family and become your children. And we are grateful that you nurture us as your own, showing us the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, that we might shine to the light of your love. We are thankful for all the good things you have provided for our welfare, for human affection, good hopes and sacred memories, for the joys that cheer us, for the trials that teach us to put our trust in you, and for the faith that looks beyond the storms of earth to the calm of heaven. May we forever share such goodness and love with those who do not know your gentle hand or your tender voice, those who know your love but do not know how to respond, and those who dare to believe yet are frightened to claim the inheritance which you have promised to all who confess Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Lord God, teach us to bind up the wounds of the sick, to hear the cry of victims, to listen to the pain of the lonely, to visit the prisoner, and to aid the grieving until they can stand again. Knowing that human resources fall short, we ask that you send down your Holy Spirit to bring the love of Christ to your needy people. Draw near to those who cannot come close to others because they were once hurt. Be close to those who are hard on themselves because life is not perfect and neither are they. Help those who toil but do not earn enough to meet expenses. Rebuke those who work to degrade others. Encourage those who want to come closer to you, who feel the prompting of the Spirit and the call of Christ. May Jesus' healing presence be upon all our lives, whatever our situation of need. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And our final hymn is a song of praise recording of O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, which is hymn 352 in the hymn book. We lost it.
Sorry, folks, I'm trying.
Some technical problems today.
Thank you.
Before the benediction, I'd like to thank the other members of the worship group for taking part in the service this morning. And to our blessing, go in peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us all this day, henceforth, and evermore. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone, for your attendance. And sorry, there's a few technical problems this morning, but we got there. I don't know if we're going to work. I actually don't even know the time. Are we going into breakout groups or anything?
Yeah, I think Elspeth's maybe going to set them up.
Right.
Yes, just doing that. I'd just quickly like to say a huge thank you to Robert and all of the team. That was wonderful, and coping with technology when it doesn't work is a real challenge. But I will open up the breakout groups because I think we've got time. And if you're able to stay, do please go into your group and have a chat.